Every year, thousands of Puerto Ricans move from the island of Puerto Rico to other parts of the world in search of a better life. Their quest mirrors that of many queer folks who travel from their hometowns to other places to express their identity. But with modern times, we see that this type of travel isn't always a one-way trip. And now people are living the lives they want in the hometown of their choice.
On today's show, we're talking to the ever-giddy and delightful Larry LaFontaine Stokes, professor of queer studies at the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor. His new book, Queer Ricans, explores the cultural expression of Puerto Rican queerness and how sexuality has shaped and defined the Puerto Rican experience in the United States.
In his book, Larry examines the lives of queer artists from the 60s through the present day.
Listen as we discuss how Puerto Ricans' love of the derriere has influenced American culture by giving the backside the respect and admiration it so greatly deserves.
Does gay American culture overly sexualize or fetishize the Puerto Rican man? And is there anything wrong with that?
Also in the news, pictures of the East Cleveland mayor in drag service. But is it really him or a devious ploy of a political opponent?
The insatiable giant baby of Indonesia still can't get enough to eat.
The beauty supply terrorist is caught. Will drag queens soon be on the terror alert watch?
And nudists in Germany seek a wilderness path for hiking in the mountains. Naked, I tell ya. Yodelehi, ooh, ooh, baby. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Villian.
And this is Feast of Fun. Or as they say in Spanish, La Fiesta de Alegría. Today's show is brought to you by generous support of fabulous listeners like you.
We really can't do the show without your support, so please visit our website, feastoffun.com, and make a donation. Buy a t-shirt.
Your financial support makes all the difference.
Thank you.
And today's show is also brought to you in part by Interactive Mail, the hottest gay chat line in North America, putting their money where your mouth is in the hottest gay video contest ever. Enter the Big Gay Kiss contest for a chance to win $10,000 and help in the fight for marriage equality. Here's how you do it.
Take a video or photo of two or more guys kissing before October 31st, 2009. Upload it to BigGayKiss.com and get everyone to rate, share, and comment on your entry. Interactive Mail will donate $5 for every video and $1 for every photo to Marriage Equality USA.
The best video wins $10,000 and the best photo wins a new webcam.
Visit BigGayKiss.com for details, because a kiss ain't just a kiss.
Comparte su opinión o ideas sobre el programa de hoy utilizando el poder de Twitter y su teléfono celular o computadora. Incluye en su mensaje el signo de número FOF1064 y su declaración aparecerá en el website. Muchas gracias. Today on the Feast of Fun, we are talking to the deliciously fabulous queer theorist Larry LaFontaine on the show here to talk about his new book, Queer Ricans, a look at the history of gay Puerto Rican migration and culture. What can we all learn from us fabulous gay Puerto Ricans, Larry? Why am I so fabulous?
Really? What can we learn?
I hope there's a chapter about me in the book.
Oh, that next book.
It's a sequel. All about the Feast of Fun, the history of fabulousness. From Fausto to Mark. Aww. So what made you want to put together this book, besides the fact that you, like me, are from Puerto Rico and you're gay?
Uh-huh. Well, it all started out when I was a graduate student at Columbia University in New York, and I was looking for a dissertation project. In fact, well, it really started when I decided to go to graduate school, because the reason I went to graduate school was I had a big desire to learn more about gay Puerto Rican culture. People were just starting to write about it, talk about it, and I just thought it was the most exciting thing. I'd been reading lots of Latin American gay authors, people like Manuel Puig and José Donoso.
I'm a big fan of Manuel Puig.
You are, the Kiss of the Spider Woman.
He has no idea who that person is.
He was an incredible writer.
He wrote The Kiss of the Spider Woman.
The Kiss of the Spider Woman. Oh, okay.
Everybody knows about The Kiss of the Spider. It's a movie where the transsexual actor William Hurt first made an appearance.
Mm-hmm. And with Raul Julia, who's also Puerto Rican.
Who's like also transsexual, too.
Yeah, it's about.
And dead.
He's a tranny in heaven now.
That's unfortunate.
If a tranny dies and goes to heaven, especially a Puerto Rican tranny, does he or she become the gender they want to be in heaven?
I think so. And I think they have unlimited beauty supplies and lots of wigs and glitter and feathers.
and they can build bombs with those. But that's later in the show with their makeup kits. So you put together this book, and so you were inspired by all these great queer Latino writers.
Uh-huh.
And you decided, you know, I wanted to take a book that did... that put it all together.
Well, not only that, but I mean, it's the first book of its kind. There are no books out in English or in Spanish that are so explicitly about gay Puerto Rican culture. And the whole concept that when we talk about Puerto Ricans in the United States, we also want to talk about issues of sexuality is fairly recent in terms of academia or public debates about Puerto Ricans in the U.S.
So you were writing this as a graduate student.
That's how it started.
And so you turned to your advisor and said, you know what? I'm gay, I'm Puerto Rican, and I'm fabulous. I want to write a dissertation about people like me.
Wow, that's incredible. I wish it had been like that. It was more like, I want to write about all of Latin America. And she was like, okay. And then I was like, oh my God, there's so much. Where do I start? So she was the one who said, just narrow it down. And she said, my advisor, Jean Franco, who's this amazing feminist cultural studies scholar. And she's like, well, just talk about Cuba and Puerto Rico. And that still seemed like so much.
Because they're really the only two Latin American countries that matter. Flush it down the toilet.
I have always had special interest in the Caribbean. I am from Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm. It fascinates me. I think people don't know enough about it, or they think they know, but they don't really know. And so part of who I am in the world is just a big advocate for Puerto Rican culture. Kind of like you, Fausto.
Yes. You know, I'm the most famous Puerto Rican talk show host.
Well, congratulations. And the most modest one.
Wasn't Geraldo Rivera Puerto Rican, too?
Sí, Geraldo Rivera, of course.
He's Latino?
Oh, yeah.
I thought he was Jewish.
He's like half and half.
Uh-huh.
But he's no longer a talk show host. Oh. He is a broadcast journalist.
Oh, okay.
So this is Sally Jesse Raphael got started in Puerto Rico, but
she did.
She's probably like some from so long ago that most listeners might not even know who she is.
Hold on, I'm gonna spit out my cocktail. Okay,
she's Puerto Rican.
Can I undo my own heritage?
She started her career as a talk show host in Puerto Rico, I believe, or
doing radio.
Yeah. Something like that.
W-O-S-O in English.
We've come so far, Fausto and Mark, haven't we?
Okay, so let me take it back then. I'm the only openly gay Puerto Rican famous talk show host and podcaster.
From Chicago.
Who lives in Andersonville.
Yes.
I know. Yes. Yeah, so back to my book.
Okay.
No, yes. I thought this was supposed to be about me.
Not about
the
you
book
today,
says so queer Ricans. It should be about me, Larry, not about all
Fausto,
these other people.
I mentioned you in the introduction.
You did?
I do. And I say that you're part of a group of
I should have read that introduction.
Yes, I mentioned. I also mentioned you guys in the acknowledgments.
Oh.
Of course, because listening to the Feast of Fun, formerly known as the Feast of Fools, was what kind of kept me sane and happy while I was doing the very intense work of writing a book. Writing a book is something that can be challenging. You have to be very disciplined. You have to really stick to it, sit there, write, and then I'd go to the gym or walk around and I'd listen
and masturbate
and listen to the podcast on my little thing. What's that called?
An iPod.
iPod.
How do you say it in Portuguese? iPod.
So basically you were thinking about me when you were writing the whole chapter about voluptuous, delicious Puerto Rican booty. There's a lot of butt in this book.
Yeah. Well, you start out because you discussed how the Puerto Ricans view the sensuality of the butt and the buttocks area more so than white people.
And I have to say, the reason of this is my theory.
Uh-huh.
This is my queer Latino theory, is because of the great queer philosopher, the great Puerto Rican philosopher, Iris Chacon.
She's a cabaret dancer.
What?
Yeah, she's a cabaret dancer. Well, you're absolutely right. I started the book kind of trying to figure out why do people leave the countries where they're from? So what motivates them to move? And I start talking about a Puerto Rican writer, a fairly well-known Puerto Rican writer, Luis Rafael Sanchez, mm-hmm. Who wrote in Spanish in Puerto Rico. And he has this short story about a man who's harassed in his town until finally he's forced to leave. And actually, well, he drowns trying to get away from these masses. And the story, there's a lot of emphasis on we could say the butt. Mm-hmm. And it's
firm, tight.
Well, and in Puerto Rico there is a cultural obsession or there's just a different way of thinking about sexuality in terms of women's bodies, and by extension homosexual men. Many times homosexual men are feminized. So mm-hmm.
so you think that Puerto Ricans tend to overemphasize or correctly emphasize and Americans de-emphasize their attraction to the booty?
Well, for me, I wanted to be able to translate or sort of communicate that when people started to read this book and to learn about Puerto Rican experience, I just wanted to flag that some things in Puerto Rico are different. That in the United States, people are obsessed with breasts. In Puerto Rico, people are obsessed with the ass.
With the ass. And you have a couple of different words here for ass. You have los fandillos, and then you also have... Now, I've heard of nalgas, which is ass, but you have el nalgatorio. Is that like a...
Nalgatorio.
Like, does that make it like a room or something? Like a gymnasium or something for butts?
Well,
that's hysterical, Mark.
It's just... Part of it, I mean, obviously, this is a book that's predominantly about figuring out why people migrate and what the differences are. But it's also a book about being very playful and seeing okay. how queer artists, queer writers, sort of at the same time that they're addressing social issues, have fun or are creative, invent sure. new words.
So what does a nalgatorio mean?
Nalgatorio, pues las nalgas, el espacio de las nalgas. It's like a little bit of just más nalga, like the whole area. Las caderas, el fundillo,
but you're
el
making
culo.
It, but by calling it that, you're kind of making it a space.
El nalgatorio.
Is that what
you
you're
know
doing?
What I'm beginning to realize here?
What?
You know how Eskimos have like 40 words for snow?
Yes.
Puerto Ricans have like 20 words for
the,
ass.
Fausto, you mentioned Iris Chacon, and that's, I mean, for
the
people.
Great.
People,
the biggest ass in Puerto Rican history.
Yeah, if you don't know who she is, she's just like an institution. She's our Dolly Parton, but you see, she's not big upstairs. She's big downstairs.
And she shakes it.
And she shakes it. Relentlessly. And you know, if you really want to laugh, you got to search Iris Chacon. Iris like a
iris. Iris, like the flower.
And Chacon, Chacon, right?
Chacon.
Yeah,
you should put a link on the webpage.
We'll put up a link, and we've blogged about her in the past. Uh-huh. But she on the Merv Griffin show, where she barely could speak English, and she was trying to seduce Merv Griffin, and he's just like, hum, 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 like totally
Fausto,
nervous.
But maybe to bring this up to date for our listeners, so J-Lo. I mean J-Lo,
the Edie
so
Chacon, you know, of modern day
so,
times.
So you know, if you're having a hard time mm-hmm. conceptualizing Puerto Rican obsession, well, not only Puerto Rican, because then Americans get keyed in, right? And
right,
African Americans.
They all talk about her booty.
Exactly.
But I heard that she's got implants.
I don't know. I honestly don't care. I'm more interested in Ricky Martin's hips, personally.
He has some pretty nice booty. You know? Do you think Ricky Martin's going to come out gay?
I don't know, but his two kids are pretty cute.
He's so adorable.
He makes a cute daddy.
He's a nice self. If you're wondering, like, is that person Puerto Rican or not? Look at their ass, because their ass always tells.
Nah. Well, can you tell that I'm Puerto Rican because of my ass?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's not as big as some Puerto Ricans, but you have a bubble butt.
So then, for example, other Puerto Rican artists like the fabulous Erica Lopez, Miss Erica Lopez from San Francisco, California. She takes this whole thing in a new direction. So she makes up this character called the Welfare Queen. Mm-hmm. And she's a cartoonist and a drawer. You say that person who draws is
a drawer,
a visual artist. And so if you look at her cartoons, there's lots of very voluptuous
an illustrator. Yeah,
lots of very voluptuous ladies in Lap Dancing for Mommy and in the Nothing left but the smell.
Now, in Queer Ricans, you decided also to draw attention to lesser-known queer Puerto Rican and Latino cultural creators.
Yeah, well, I think it's that different people know different things. So, for example, the most important gay Puerto Rican writer, Manuel Ramos Otero, he wrote in Spanish, published in Puerto Rico. People who are interested in this in Puerto Rico have access, but he's never been translated. So, for example, so people in the U.S., many of them aren't familiar with his work. Then you have people like Erica Lopez or even Chicago's own Rose Trochet, who make films or performances or cartoons in English. And then people in Puerto Rico aren't very informed. And, well, I have to say, many people don't know that much about Puerto Rico. They think they know. Everyone knows West Side Story. They know the beach. They know piña colada, they know rum, but they know hot men, they know
that
doll called Carlos, it's Billy's boyfriend. Sure. So, you know, everyone has some sort of association, but then they don't actually have specific information about artists and writers and filmmakers, and that's what excites me, be able to share that information.
So you say there's a divide there between what happens on the island and then what happens, you know, in America and other places in the world where Puerto Rican people are. And so how do you bridge that divide? Does it need to be bridged?
I think it does, because I think that, you know, that we're the same people. We're the same people in Puerto Rico and in the United States. And there's lots of issues that divide people, like language or cultural experience. But there's also there's historical continuity. And in the United States, Puerto Ricans have been very important or very relevant. We've been here since 1898, since the U.S. invaded Puerto Rico. Actually, even before, Puerto Ricans were coming here fleeing from the Spanish colonial regime. But for me, it's about queer Puerto Ricans. Queer Puerto Ricans, people don't know that much about us, or even we don't know that much about us. So for me, it was about generating information and honoring these artists, figuring out who they are, writing about their stories, helping people recognize that, for example, Rose Trochet's film Go Fish, which many people know about, that it actually was made by a Puerto Rican woman, and that it was about a neighborhood.
Now, what of the movie was so good?
was it filmed here in Chicago, wasn't it?
It was filmed in Wicker Park, and at a moment in
Do you want to know a little piece of trivia of that?
Sure.
My little sister was...
She's in it?
Offered to be in a sequel to that movie.
Oh my God.
Really?
Yeah, because my little sister Talia Fernos she's the only person in the Fernos family that's in the internet movie database.
For what?
For one movie that she did, and from that movie she did in Austin. She was like a sort of like a...
An extra?
No, she played an actual part in this movie. And the guy who, Richard Linklater, saw that movie and offered her a part in the Dazed and Confused, the movie that made that hunky Texan actor,
Matthew McConaughey,
that made his career. And so Talia was offered the role in the movie, and she was kind of a pothead at the time. So she, about a movie about potheads, fancy that, and she lost the script and she was embarrassed. So she didn't show up for the callbacks.
Well, I don't know about that, but I can tell you about Rose Trochet. And I can tell you that she and Gwen Turner made this movie. Rose Trochet went on to direct The L Word. She's gone on to make movies with famous Hollywood actresses, like The Safety of Objects, if I'm not mistaken. And I hope I'm correct. And, you know, and it's just exciting to bring together and to help people make those connections that, like, dancers like Arthur Avilés in the Bronx, he dances naked.
He's the guy in the cover, the bald guy with a big old dick, and that's... barely can be contained by the dresses he's wearing.
Well, I think later on you have a photo of him and he is naked in here.
So it's like this book is like
porn.
So
you get to see the junk.
Well, it's art, because he's dancing in a piece called Arthurella, which is a gay Puerto Rican Cinderella story set in the Bronx. And he does dance naked because he's really into that. He used to dance with Bill T. Jones, who's a very famous African-American
gay
Who also
danced naked.
Exactly.
With Arnie Zane.
That's where Arthur started dancing. dancing naked. And then Arthur decided to create his own dance company in the Bronx, in Hunts Point, at the Bronx Academy of
Arts
and Dance.
Stop right there, though. Bill T. Jones is the Tony Award-winning choreographer.
Bill T. Jones is one of the great American artists of the 20th and 21st century.
I agree.
And it was for a young Puerto Rican gay dancer who grew up poor in New York to be able to have Bill T. Jones as his mentor and director and boyfriend was quite inspirational.
Well, now you talk about, like, a lot of people have left the island because they're gay. They wanted to escape and move on to different places.
Especially in the 60s and 70s and 80s when it was a little harder. I mean, nowadays it's much easier to be gay in Puerto Rico.
Oh, yeah, you have the internet, right?
There's the internet, of course. There is more visibility. There's been gay pride marches since 1991.
Fausto, you marched in that one, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
There's even an anthology of openly gay and lesbian writers, LGBT writers. There's a group called Homoerotica that organizes readings. There's queer podcasts in Puerto Rico.
Wow.
Yeah.
Should we do a shout to Joel?
Hola, Joel.
Gracias y buenas noches. Technically, I'm going to read Joel. Technically, you can't consider it a podcast unless you're producing shows on a regular basis.
Oh, really?
Because he's a little bit spotty about his show schedule.
Hey,
I love him.
No tiene que regañarlo.
I'm regañándolo. Yes, honey, you got to put out those shows more often.
Mira,
People need you. People need your voice.
So when they escaped, where'd they go? They went to New York, mostly.
I don't use the word escape, but,
they emigrated.
Well, but people in the United States were leaving their towns and cities and moving to big meccas like New York and San Francisco. So in that sense, it was really about...
So the Puerto Rican migration mirrors that of the regular
moving
American.
Moving away from your family in many respects, being in a place that you can be more anonymous, where people aren't just focusing on you. But the fact that in New York, there was a huge Puerto Rican community was an incentive to go there. Or also places like Chicago and Philadelphia that have had Puerto Rican communities since the 1940s and 50s. But I'm also interested in Puerto Ricans born in the U.S. And that is a different experience. Like Rose Trochet, we were just talking about her. She was born here in Chicago. So, that's really different. Born here, not necessarily raised speaking Spanish, certainly not raised being familiar with everything that goes on the island. So here, being Puerto Rican takes a different dimension, different definition.
So how ghetto do I need to be if I was born in the United States to be considered Puerto Rican?
Mira, Fausto.
Why do you say that?
I'm just kidding.
Puerto Ricans come in all sizes and shapes, and they can be as ghetto as they want and as classy as they want, as educated, as well-read, as cute or as ugly.
But there's interesting, though, because in talking about what it means to be Puerto Rican, there's always the discussion of the essence of identity. And just like to be gay is something that you really own. And to be Puerto Rican or to be Latino is something you own as well. But for me, I don't, I look like an American person in Puerto Rico. Like, people always be like, you don't look Puerto Rican. And I'm like, honey, it's like Puerto Ricans come in all shapes and sizes.
They do. And people...
Well, neither of you look Puerto Rican.
But,
That's true.
But Puerto Rico is a multiracial, multi-ethnic country just like the United States. And the
what
same
does it
way,
mean to be Puerto Rican,
What
though?
Does it mean? People, it means whatever you want it to mean for you. And I think that people have the right to fight for that, for that recognition. So don't box me in. Don't expect that I'm going to be a certain way. There's things we share. We share a Spanish colonial past. We share some kind of knowledge about this island in the Caribbean where maybe you grew up, or maybe your family, your relatives grew up. There's food and music associated with it. But you can really take that in the direction. So every individual has the right to define it the way they want to.
Are we seeing that in a modern day that people are more comfortable with redefining what it means to be their identity, whether it's to be black or Puerto Rican or to be gay or
I
different?
I hope so. I mean, because
let me tell you, it's like when we used to make
that.
Rice and chicken back 15 years ago or 20 years ago.
Arroz con pollo,
but we made it with brown rice.
Aye, that's so organic.
And it's a very shocking thing to most Puerto Ricans. Sí. It's like, this is not even Puerto
that's
Rican food.
That's not very
this
kosher.
It's an unholy hybrid of American and Puerto Rican culture.
Because they want that. What kind of rice is it that they want?
El grano corto, short grain rice.
Short white polished
sello
rice.
Sello rojo. Or Goya.
Goya.
Today's show is brought to you by Goya.
And by the Puerto Rican Tourism Board. They should give you money.
I know, honey.
Ave Maria.
Ay, Dios mío.
You know Maria?
I said Maria.
What Maria?
What's happening to gay Puerto Ricans in 2009 that wasn't happening 10, 20 years ago? How are we changing as a group of people?
Well, I think we're changing in Puerto Rico and we're changing here. There's people going back and forth. Puerto Ricans are part of the world. Puerto Ricans are part of global trends. Puerto Ricans help to define and change the world. And do
reggaeton.
Reggaeton, you guys, you know, you are pioneers.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that again. Let me hold my People's Choice Podcast Award while he says that.
Podcast. You know, so I think that what's different is that, well, unfortunately, some things are really similar. We still have to face homophobic politicians in Puerto Rico, the governor, for example, is not the most supportive.
Here's an interesting angle. In Puerto Rico, there is a government option for health care. You can get health care right now, today and age. My dad had it. He liked it. He used it. Yet, in America, we don't have any really, we'll probably not be seeing any kind of government option for healthcare in the near future. Thanks a lot, Max Baucus. And yet at the same time, there's parts of the country that are allowing marriage equality. There's in ways that there's benefits to being queer in the United States that you don't get in Puerto Rico. But there's also benefits being gay in Puerto Rico that you don't get in the United States. Are we starting to see not as much of a strong motivation to move around in Puerto Rico?
You know, many times this can be a very personal question. It's a very personal issue. So sometimes it really has to do with who you are, how you feel, how your life is going, how you get along with your family, your job, what your aspirations are, what makes you happy and what drives you crazy. So you know, we try to identify general trends and figure out what would motivate many people to do certain things. But then sometimes it really is a very personal issue.
Do you see that marriage equality is going to happen in Puerto Rico sooner than, say, a state like California?
I honestly don't know.
Because there's a lot of talk happening down there.
Uh-huh.
You know? It's it'd be a great place to get married.
We can only hope. I hope, yeah. You know?
It's somewhat a conservative
see,
country.
See, I'm not a political scientist, and I'm actually not even a social scientist. I'm a cultural studies person. I started out as a literary scholar. So my field of expertise is how artists put this out there. In other words, how artists talk about it in their short stories, in their films, in their performances, in their cartoons. And then sort of my job or what interests me is figuring out who are these great poets, people like Luz María Umpierre, or writers like Manuel Ramos Otero, or filmmakers like Frances Negro Montaner, and how are they presenting these issues in their cultural productions, in their films, their poems, their performances.
Was there something that you found across the board that like a poet kind of touched on the same topics as a dancer or a filmmaker?
Well, I guess I was most interested in the differences. So how did men approach this experience of being queer in Puerto Rican differently from women? How did people in the 1970s approach it differently from the way we did in the 1990s? How did people born on the island do it differently from people born in the U.S.
And how did they do it differently?
Well, people like Ramos Otero, when he came to New York for the first time in the 70s, at least the short stories he was writing seemed very comfortable integrating, or much more comfortable integrating to the gay community than to the Puerto Rican one. And then someone like Luz Marion Pierre, who went to Philadelphia in 1974, was exactly the opposite. She immediately becomes much more involved in the Puerto Rican community in Philadelphia. And it's only in the late 1980s with the Margarita poems that she basically says, I'm a lesbian, and that's a key issue that I want you to address.
So she wasn't out before?
Or at least not in her in her published poetry. Okay.
So do you think it's easier for gay men to be connected, Puerto Rican gay men, to be connected to a gay community than it is to a Puerto Rican community?
All I'm ready to categorically affirm is that in the 1970s, in the case of Manuel Ramos Otero, that seemed to be the case more than for someone like Luz Marion Pierre. But what's exciting to me is that, you know, I published this book. It's the first book of its kind to come out. And then now, hopefully, maybe people will come and disprove me, say, you know what, actually there's all this other stuff that you don't know about. But since we were kind of operating in a void, there's been lots of articles, there's been lots of amazing scholars like Agnes Lugo Ortiz, who lives here in Chicago, or Arnaldo Cruz Malabé, or Lourdes Torres, also here in Chicago, but there hasn't been a book. So for me, it's about having, you know, people who are interested be able to say, now I'm going to sit down, I'm going to read this book, and by the end of it, I'm going to know so much more.
It almost feels like there's a latent need to create a queer Puerto Rican Wikipedia.
Well, that's so interesting that you mentioned that, because actually I am a regular contributor to Wikipedia, because a lot of...
So you're the one.
You're the one who's sabotaging our site.
Because I've never contributed to the Feast of Fun article on Wikipedia that I can recall.
Okay.
Maybe I've corrected a couple of typos. But a lot of these people that I write about, people like Luz Marion Pierre, Manuel Ramos Otero, Erica Lopez, didn't have articles on Wikipedia. So I'm really invested in people being able to find out more about them, be it through the internet, through my book, through my classes at the University of Michigan, which is where I teach in Ann Arbor. Shout out to Ann Arbor, to Jim Leha.
He's listening right now. He's like, what are they saying about me?
Jim Leha is why I know about your podcast.
Aww, love him. You know, and his girlfriend, what's her name? I'm forgetting her name.
Holly Hughes.
Sorry. I'm so sorry, Holly. We've had a couple of cocktails.
She's coming to town. Isn't she?
She's coming to town with Tim Miller and a bunch of other sort of legends from the 90s.
Yeah.
They should rename the show Legends from the 90s.
The legends, the gay legends.
Gay Legends Ball. So they're coming to I think it's the Victory Gardens Theater in the spring of 2010. Wow. And they're doing a queer performance festival.
Mm. Wow.
No queer Puerto Rican performers yet that have been booked for it, but I think they're working on that.
Maybe
right
Larry
now.
You can come and read something in the nude with a piece of meat on your head.
Mark, you're so suggestive.
Speaking of being suggestive, do white Americans, do they overly fetishize Puerto Rican men, or overly sexualize them?
They correctly fetishize them for being sex demons in the sack as we are.
That happens a lot. And you know what? And I mean, some Latinos enjoy that and they take advantage of that. And then a lot of people get pissed off, rightly so. And so there's been some really interesting
Why would anybody be pissed off
about
being the rumors being that they're sexier than they really are?
Because it's like when people think that you're just a brainless piece of meat that are only good to be in bed with, but that's about the end of
there
it.
There are worse things that can happen to
There's
you.
There's worse things, but you know
but
what?
But you don't want to be objectified. It's being objectified.
It's about truth. You know, it's truth is the best thing to know. We can be really smart as much as sexy, or maybe we can be smart and sexy. We can be sexy.
Or we can be dumb and pointless in bed. We can be good for nothing.
Right. But, I mean, historically, there's been lots of resistance to acknowledging, you know, the intellect, the cultural contributions of Puerto Ricans, of people of color in the United States. So I think that breaking down that stereotype has been a big thing for activists or for socially minded people.
Who's your favorite of all the people that you studied and included? Who's your favorite gay Puerto Rican besides Fausto?
Wow. Well, I have to say, I mean, I have so many favorites, but, you know, they're so different. Manuel Ramos Otero is
You keep saying his name.
Because
he's the dancer one, right?
No, that's Arthur Avilés. Arthur's another of my big favorites, but let me say. So it sort of started with Manuel Ramos Otero, who died in 1990 of AIDS at the age of 42. And it's a little bit about an obsession. I mean, I even while I was writing the dissertation, I had a feeling he was showing up and would follow.
Oh, really?
I had to do like a little despojo en mi casa because it was just
What's
little
a despojo?
Despojo is when, you know, it's like a santeria thing.
Or you gotta get
it's
the like bad a cleansing. Spirits out.
Yeah, it was sort of like a spiritual cleansing. And it's for to me, it's just insane that the most interesting gay Puerto Rican writer who wrote in Spanish has not been translated extensively into English, and it's barely available for English readers. But then that really took me in different directions. It took me in the direction of lesbian poets like Luz Marion Pierre, but it also took me to gay dancers in the Bronx. And being able to go to a performance and see a gay Bronx Cinderella story with a guy dancing
with a big old
naked,
package.
I mean... And if anyone lives in New York or near New York, you should really make it to Hunts Point sometime and check out the work of Arthur Avilés, because it was just so exciting to be in a theater full of a lot of queer people or a lot of Puerto Rican people who weren't queer but were enjoying it just the same. That's Arthur Avilés tends to attract audiences that are multi-generational, so their grandparents, their kids, their...
So grandma's sitting there watching this big old dick swing on the stage.
Absolutely. But you know, but that's what Latino... I mean, that's what's so fascinating. People have a notion that Latinos are very homophobic, and some of them are, but some Latinos are so understanding. I mean, for me, going to gay nightclubs like La Escuelita in New York in the 1990s, what always blew my mind is that people would take their family. Like, they'd get a table and they'd bring out a birthday cake and their grandmother would be there for the drag show.
Really?
And then, you know, that's just not...
Would there be kids, too? Because anytime you go to a Latino party, there's always children. I'm like, put the goddamn kids to bed.
I think that they wouldn't let... You no, have to I'm be just, at least 18 to get into La Escuelita.
Sorry, folks, we had to take a little break. There was a car in the background and they didn't have a muffler working. I had to open up the window and scream at them, fix your car!
That's so Puerto Rican, Fausto.
It was very Puerto Rican.
They were like, cállate, bajen eso!
I was sticking my head out the window and screaming at neighbors I had no idea
she was so Puerto Rican.
I know, now we're going to rock through the window.
Now they're going to rock throwing it through the window. Oh, Larry, it's always a pleasure having you. There's a couple of questions here from our Feast of Fun Facebook page. It's a little hard to pronounce, but it's always fun to visit.
Feast of Fun Facebook page.
God, Facebook has just been so clunky this week. It's like, yes, mio. Girls, you know, you think with $1 billion in money in their bank account, they could fix it.
What's up with Facebook? I love Facebook, I have to say.
I love it and hate it, too.
See.
It's like my husband.
So what did people write?
Anyway, Saulo Ferraz said, hi, guys. Love the show. Lauris always brings great insights and interesting information to the show. Can't wait to listen to it. Kisses to you all.
That's so nice. Thank you.
And he wants to know, Saulo says, are you cut or uncut?
He does not ask
so
that.
That is for me to know and for you to find out.
He does
He's
not.
Really cute. Do you see his picture?
Bueno, que me mande un mensaje.
Saulo Ferraz. Look That's at him, so cool. honey. Look how cute he is. Well, you see?
You guys have very cute listeners.
He participates on the website, too.
Oh, so which is, you guys bring together all sorts of amazing people.
And then Puerto Rican guys are traditionally not cut or are cut.
Wait, that is that's interesting because, you know, because Puerto Rico is part of the United States. Sure. The same medical practices that were put in place here have been put in place on the island. So that's a little bit of a stereotype that Puerto Rican guys are cut.
Or uncut.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Puerto Rican guys are as likely to be cut or uncut as anyone in the United States.
Okay.
And then Pablo Beltrán Salva. I think I correctly pronounced his name.
Pablo.
Pablo. Another. I mean, these guys are gorgeous.
Are you over-sexualizing these Latino men?
Óyeme, sí, Fausto, ten cuidado.
They're really attractive, I have to say. Listen, if I don't sexualize you, it doesn't mean you're not attractive. It just means I don't personally attracted to you. But, you know, it's okay.
Fausto, what's the question?
I was too busy looking at his hot photos to worry about the question. Now, why didn't I get that book when I saw it at the bookstore? Oh, yeah, because I was broke and had no place to put it in, so I couldn't do the five-finger discount. Shoplifting the book. No, oh my no, God. No.
More stereotypes.
But it is on my book wish list. So, wow. Pablo, pay for it, please, darling.
Oh, well, it's exciting to hear that it's making it into the bookstores. And, you know, you could encourage your public library to buy it. And then you could read it at the library and it would be free.
People, libraries are places where you can take books out and you don't have to pay for them.
Yeah,
that's true.
It's a weird concept,
or,
I know.
Or you can even find a bookstore that has a nice comfy chair, mm-hmm. take the book and read it there.
So what is the queer Puerto Rican premier historian in the United States and in all of Latin America, Larry LaFontaine, have to say about the giant baby that was born in Malaysia?
Did you see it? No.
Oh, my God. It's
Honey,
a monster.
It's the most. This week, it was the most shared news item on the Associated Press.
18 pounds. It's not the world's record for the biggest baby. The biggest baby was 24 pounds.
Instead of going like this, it goes.
Wah. It's like a Godzilla baby. I guess the mother had like gestational diabetes or something like that.
Oh.
And so I don't know how that made. I guess all the sugar went to her baby. I don't know exactly how it went, but yeah, it happened in Indonesia. But the Huffington Post had this really great thing on unusual birth stories and stuff like that. There's a woman who was pregnant, and so she was like, I don't know, a couple months along or a month along, and then she got pregnant again.
Oh.
So she spit out another egg later, so the kids are going to be born at different times.
Oh, my God. Oh, wow.
That's going to be dangerous for the second baby. You know?
I don't know. Oh, I don't know what's going
to
happen.
So I want to do a shout out to Muhammad Akbar Rasuddin. That's the name of the giant baby.
The giant baby.
Mm-hmm. Look how big. Look at that crazy baby. Oh, so the doctors are describing the baby as greedy and insatiable, and they just keep feeding it and feeding it, and there's not enough food for it.
What's the difference between you and this baby?
Me?
Yeah. describe it. I'm just kidding.
I hadn't heard about this baby because I've been hanging out at the University of Illinois at Chicago at this Latino Studies conference, which is actually why I'm here at your show. So that's why I didn't know about the baby.
Well, and then you, yeah?
Go ahead.
No, I said, did you hear about the terrorist that got arrested because he was buying large amounts of beauty supplies?
Wow.
That's a different new kind of terrorist.
I had no idea.
He's a tranny terrorist?
He is a tranny terrorist. And let me read you a little bit about this here. So his name was, he's a young man. Doesn't say, what the hell is his name? Najibullah Zazi. He's 24 years old and he's really hot. I mean, I'd like to see if his penis is cut.
Are you overly sexualizing a terrorist?
You know, terrorist cock is really hot because you don't know if it's going to explode in your mouth.
Fausto's a little.
You got to detonate that bomb, you know? So he bought substances not unusual to a store like the beauty supply warehouse, such as hydrogen peroxide, concealer, acetone.
And concealer?
I threw in the concealer. But, you know, it is deadly. And he put it together to I guess he was going to build some bombs and blow them up in downtown Denver.
Yeah, he was going to do something on September 11th, but they caught him. They're like, yeah. Because I think they have, like, certain things that are on, like, the list that, like, if you buy this stuff, then they're going to, like,
But you know what I just realized? That most drag queens have weapons of mass destruction.
Like hairspray and a lighter. I think Fausto was just excited about the thought of going to a beauty supply store and just going crazy buying lots of shit.
Well, I thought, you know, the thing is, like,
walking out with shopping bags.
Next time you go to Sally's Beauty Supply and you're buying that jug of acetone, because some people need that. You know, it takes a lot of solvent to get rid of the ugly. And the thing about it is that it could be used as a bomb. So it's going to make life harder for drag queens.
Yeah, I just wonder what kind of bomb you can make with acetone and hydrogen peroxide.
How about just making yourself so, like, you know, unglamorously ugly, ugly drag that you just, like, people pass out just from seeing you walk by.
Like Arthur Aviles.
Arthur's very cute.
Now, did he, when he performed, did he, because we can't tell in the photos, but did he put on, like, a little makeup and stuff, lipstick?
Or? Wow, that's interesting. I don't know. I know for sure he wears these dresses designed by Liz Prince, who's a very talented costume designer. So I actually, in the book, I talk about how he tends to dance either in drag or naked. And then for me, those are two really interesting poles of gayness. Drag is sort of this gender transgression, and nudity is like this way that you reclaim your body and you sort of affirm
and reclaim ticket sales.
Well, and you reclaim a type of eroticism, mm-hmm. that many people in the mainstream would like associate exclusively with pornography and would like to censor and not to allow. So I appreciate Arthur's performances in dresses and nude. Well, I mean, obviously because he's very attractive, but also because I see different aspects of queer culture in general, queer Puerto Rican and American culture coming through in those performances.
And so someone who lives in Ann Arbor, Michigan, can they like sit in one of your classes and like listen to you talk 5 days a week or something like that?
Maybe. Usually it helps if you're a student at the University of Michigan. But I don't turn people
University.
Away.
Okay, here's another question that's really pressing on my mind. Because, you know, I have three People's Choice Podcast Awards. I hope to win again this year. But something is missing from my life. I have a bachelor's. I have a master's. I would love to get an honorary PhD from the University of Michigan. Can we work on that?
Wow. I honestly don't know, but I can look into it, Fausto.
I think it'd be fantastic.
Is that a political answer?
You know what? I'll even show up to accept it. Because, you know, I was looking online and I was noticing that a lot of like schools give celebrities like PhDs.
And they don't even show up to get them.
And they don't even show up to get them. And I was like, what's the point of that?
Well, it's not that much of a stretch. He already has a master's, so it's just like, you know, not too much.
Come on,
his master's.
Mark has a master's. Then, can PhD you give us both on one certificate? And so you could rig this honorary PhD from the school of what's the name of the school?
Well, so, you know, PhD is a doctor of philosophy. So I think you guys should get like a LD.
What's
like
that?
Like a doctor's
Yeah, but nobody
love.
Knows what an LD is.
You're so crazy.
Nobody knows what an LD is.
Oh, I know. F.
Well, aren't you a PhD?
FD. Doctors in Fabulousness.
That would work.
I could take that.
I think more than
I want a pink diploma.
More than an honorary PhD, I think you need a bunch of sponsors, a TV show.
Yeah, that would be good. Oscar,
but you know, if I had that PhD, it would help me get a television show. You know, because I could turn to like CBS.
Be like Dr. Fausto.
Yes, ask Dr. Fausto.
Doctora Fausto.
Because, you know, Dr. Laura Schlesinger technically didn't have a PhD.
Oh, what kind of doctor was she?
Doctor crazy. But but the thing is I would actually like, you know, I'm not a person that feels very comfortable lying to others. And so I would really like to actually have a PhD and be like, hold it as a plaque, like a wrapper. Uh-huh. You know how the rappers have big clocks? Uh-huh. I would have my diploma hanging from
my
neck.
You're still pretty young, Fausto. I think those kind of recognitions come to people later on.
They've been giving them to rappers.
Are you
rappers.
Telling him to wait?
Well,
he's so impatient. He's not going to wait.
Listen, you know, in this day and age, with the economy the way it's going, global warming, we may not be around to get that PhD.
I don't even think Ann Arbor can actually give out PhDs, so you're probably barking up the wrong tree.
Yeah, they're not a school worth getting one from anyway. I didn't really want it.
Perfect. Problem solved.
Please, come on, Lavi. See, if I pin you in front of the show, we're not going to end the show until you commit.
Say, I'll look into it.
I'll look into it.
See, that's what Midwesterners say when they say no.
Larry, I'm not going to ask you if you're uncut or if you're cut, but are you left-handed or right-handed?
Oh, I'm right-handed.
You are right-handed?
Si, señor.
Fausto, are you left-handed or right-handed?
Depends on what I'm doing.
It depends on what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Well, now they have some new underwear design. You know how they have that little flap in there for you to pull your penis out so you can pee?
Okay.
Now they have some design for left-handed people.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah, so now they can, you know, get it out faster so they won't be.
I don't understand.
Whatever.
I don't think I know anybody who doesn't pull the elastic on their underwear to pull out their monstrous, uncut Puerto Rican penises to pee.
Oh, but if you wear like jockey shorts, it's a mute question because it's just like a little slit.
Is yeah, this, but see,
well,
for
that's
me,
what we're talking about, though.
Sometimes my package doesn't fit through the slit. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I just think, like, if you're wearing tight jeans, it's hard for that slit, but I don't. It's hard to get it. But I don't know. I just think, you know, if you wear boxer shorts.
Boxer shorts are the ones that it's the same for everyone.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, boxers are the ones that are like little shorts.
Yeah.
But jockeys are the ones that are tighty whities.
Yeah, it's that the wide slit. Front thing.
Ah.
So you get some specialty underwear.
See, I always thought that slit was just for ventilation.
Mm-hmm. But what I always I just find it funny, like some guys just pull down their zipper, but other guys literally undo the belt, undo the button.
I know.
And the urinal.
They practically
put the pants down.
I've seen guys pull and you see like their ass. And you're like, what are they doing?
I've never quite understood that. But you know what? You know, power to you. If that's what it takes and it makes you happy and it helps.
Yeah, because you got to get that pee out and into somebody's mouth.
Oy, that's gross.
Hey, you know, there are legitimate people who are into WS, which is slang for water sports. You learn all sorts of things on the Feast of
Golden Showers. Are you a naturalist, Larry?
What's a naturalist?
like, do you go to nude beaches and stuff like that?
Wow. I think I might have been to one once.
Didn't you guys go to one together?
At no. Jones Beach in New York, like during the summer, there's like a little part of the beach that's the nudist.
Where's Jones Beach?
That's out in Long Island, but you can take the train from Manhattan out there. And okay. It's a fun beach.
Do they have nude beaches in Puerto Rico?
Not to my knowledge.
There are some. But,
really?
But they're not... Very
government sanctioned and stuff.
They're not
like
government that. Sanctioned. They're private beaches. Actually, in Condado, there used to be a nude beach.
But
back
can
in
women
the
go,
70s.
Can women go topless there, though? Like in like a lot of countries, like in
there's
Europe.
There's some parts of to Puerto Rico, but Puerto Ricans tend to be very sort of like conservative.
More conservative. The U.S. than Europe.
Yeah. Really?
They're like, I'm not going to show that. But you know,
you know I can't show my boobs.
But you know what they do is they unbutton the bra.
Yeah.
I mean, the top, and then they lie face down so they don't get
like, tan
lines.
Well, because the Germans love to be naked because they have that whole free body culture, FKK for short, the Freikörperkultur. So they're trying to like get a place in the Harz Mountains, which is like in central Germany, so they can go hiking nude.
Ah, yeah.
Would you ever go hiking nude?
I'd be afraid of being bit by the mosquitoes.
That's what I'd be afraid of, too. The other thing is, though, too, especially like if it's hot out. Because, you know, if it's hot, things hang a little lower, you know? And that, so, like, your balls would just keep going, like, bouncing back and forth off your thighs. And that would just drive me nuts. But, I mean, maybe if I was, like, in underwear or something like that. I don't know. I don't like the idea of walking long distances in the nude. Like, if I was just laying out... That's fine, because when I lived in Germany, I used to go to like the English Garden. There, you could lay out nude and just sit there, read your book, do whatever you wanted to do.
Mark gets very romantic when he's in nature, and he likes to like you know he gets horny and he wants to get naked.
Is that true? Does that come from growing up in Erie, Pennsylvania?
Well, I think so, because there's a lot of nature in Erie, Pennsylvania. For me, what turns me on is like
hotels
and elegance and cleanliness and away from nature. And so we're going to be having a lot of sex in October because we're going to be going to Washington, D.C.
And why are you going to Washington?
For the naturalist nudists.
Yeah. The March for Equality.
The March for Equality.
Honey.
And that's October 11th.
October 11th. You know, a lot of people don't realize that for when these kind of national events happen, there's a huge queer Latino component. And if you go to the DuPont Circle Fountain, the Saturday night, which we should go hang out there, you can see all the fabulous fierce divas. They're all just slapping and clapping and dancing
and having
a good
time.
Oh, yeah.
There's a very fabulous gay bookstore right there.
What is it?
Lambda Rising.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I'll make sure to check it out. Well, that Saturday, which is the 10th, we're going to go see Tom Goss perform, and then we're going to eat together. I think it's going to be like at Nelly's Bar or something. It's in the Adams Morgan neighborhood.
Stay tuned to the podcast. We'll be announcing it. So it's not official, though.
It's not official, but we're going to do something. But we'll figure it out. But definitely, we're going to march on Sunday.
Yeah, and we'll be in drag, even though some drag queens won't.
You're going to be in drag?
Well, you know, as
so
myself.
So you guys are hopeful that march is going to bring about needed change.
It's going to be so powerful that it's going to bring about world peace. peace.
Yeah.
And universal health care for people everywhere, including like remote parts of Africa where they don't even have doctors.
Those are mighty aspirations.
We can do it. Yes, we can. Back with us. Thank
you,
Satan.
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can.
Thank you, Satan.
Si se puede.
But also, too, if you're not going to go to Washington, look in your local area because they're going to have demonstrations in different cities, like on the local level. And here in Chicago on that day is, you know, the 12th. They're going to have one down at Daley Plaza. And guess what? Celebrities in town that weekend. Who loves the gays.
RuPaul.
Who's a redhead. Who's from Chicago.
Lucille Ball.
Who's obnoxious.
Who has a reality TV show. Who's told Jesus to suck it. Whose first name is Kathy.
Griffith?
Yes.
I don't watch TV.
It would have been funny if you actually still hadn't gotten it by then.
It would have been really bad and a little embarrassing.
So Kathy Griffin is going to be there.
We're saying she's going to be there. I think she's going to be there.
I'm recruiting her in the fight for equality because she committed to it during her season. And now her schedule's open up because she's not taping.
But how about Oprah? Real. Is Oprah going to join the fight for equality?
She's too busy spooning with Gail.
Yeah, Oprah, you should go too.
Oprah,
that might be mayhem. I don't know. But I hope Kathy gets up there and speaks. Somebody better bring her a megaphone.
Mm. Yeah,
she's going to be like, I don't want to talk because I have to do my performance tonight. I have to save my voice.
My voice, my head. I'm going to break my voice.
She's like sitting here listening to the podcast right now going, those fuckers are making me work. But I think she'll show up. I have 100% faith. So if you're a big fan of hers, and even if you don't care about gay rights, which you probably should, you
if
should
you're listening
go down
to this show
there.
And you don't care about gay rights, you got serious issues.
You got issues.
Seriously. Let's talk about, speaking of gay rights, the East, Eric Brewer, another fabulous diva, she's running for mayor.
She is mayor.
She is mayor of East Cleveland. And I guess there's been photos of her going around. And yes, I say her because she's a tranny.
Well,
maybe
a cross-dresser, I guess.
That's the rumor. It's a rumor.
Rumor is he's in the pictures, and the pictures don't lie. And he looks like she looks like him.
Photos can be doctored and stuff like that. And so those could be, or somebody that looks a lot like him. But I have a feeling, because I don't feel as though I've read some things, and at the time of this taping and stuff like that, I don't feel that he's said those are clearly and without a doubt not me.
Do you have listeners from Cleveland?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure. Or East Cleveland.
East Cleveland.
I don't know where East Cleveland
Ohio
is. Where do you think East Cleveland is?
I'm thinking it's next to Cleveland, but I don't know for sure.
I'm thinking it is, too. I'm thinking it's east of Cleveland.
But I love it that, because, you know, it's, I guess East Cleveland wouldn't be a major city. It's kind of like a small, a modest town.
I think it's like Evanston compared to Chicago.
Mm.
So
Google it.
You go fierce.
MapQuest.
What is it going to show? East Cleveland. Yeah.
Next to Cleveland.
You know, the biggest, the most common search is East Cleveland mayor. Because everybody's like, and the first photo that comes up is him in panties and a bra.
Because people are just fascinated.
Look at this.
They just love the idea of
cross-dressers. Look at the news result. Do you see it? Do you see him in the little panties?
A tiny photo.
Girl.
So he's trying to say, listen. But the funny thing is, though, I'm really appreciating the reaction. Because the mayor's kind of like mad that these pictures are out there. And he's like, I've done a good job. I've done this and this. And this is a smear campaign against me. And, you know, he accuses maybe his opponent or the police that have worked for him is doing it because they don't like how he's been doing. And his opponent's like, I don't know. The first time I saw the pictures was on the news. I don't know anything about it. I don't care about this person's personal life, whatever he wants to do. And then a lot of like the people in the town are just like, well, it's his personal life, so what do I care? Well, so I'm really like surprised that people are just like, whatever.
That's very mature. There's very serious issues. Cleveland has huge rates of people losing their homes. Mm-hmm. There's more serious things to worry about. Like, for example, whether you have a job, whether you're being evicted or not. So, you know, whether your mayor's in his free time is dressing in drag, it's really just not that big a deal.
Okay, guys, I'm looking at these photos and it's, you know, look at the nose. It's not the same person.
That's sort of my feeling.
But the thing about it is
no,
that
but
the Cleveland...
look at the line above the nose between the eyes. Look at that line between there. That's your clue there.
But the thing about it is that the mayor in the before pictures does have tranny on holiday hot eyebrows.
Oh, really?
They're all nice and plucked. So it's like, that gives you away. Yep. Tranny on holiday. T-O-T... Tranny on holiday. T-O-H.
Toe.
Oh, honey. So, you know, if someone's found a tranny that's put up pictures on the internet that looks like the mayor, I'd like for the listeners to find a pictures of a tranny that looks like me and post them and start passing them off as me. Or Mark.
Yeah, but you wouldn't care.
I think that'd be cool, though. Wouldn't it be awesome? Be like, well, look, Fausto's a tranny.
You look like tranny like, enough as
Fausto, you are a tranny, or at least when you did Faustina.
Well, I know, but that was intentional. But it would be really cool if it was sexy, like.
Let's get
Chrysler
Jeffrey Sibelius from Project Runway, the winner from season 2. Let's get him to dress up in drag and tell people it's you.
Oh, that'd be good.
Because he looks like him.
Or maybe he does dress up as a tranny, and so the search for me as a tranny on or Larry LaFontaine.
Larry, you would make a lovely drag queen. You just have to get rid of the goatee, though.
Okay.
Can we shave you now and after we're done taping and force feminize you? Because we got plenty of stuff back here.
Oh, I'm starting to get a little scared.
As well, you should be.
Here, have some more to drink.
You don't mind putting on this corset, do you?
Oh, it feels a little tight.
We're going to tighten it for
We've
you.
We've got to shave those. We've got to shave those.
Listen, Mistress Faustina is going to teach you how to be fierce.
I'm a serious academic.
Those forced feminization videos on YouTube, though, are really funny. I posted up a couple of them in the forums just because it's like this one woman, she's off camera and she's directing this guy. Look at you. Look how pretty you are. Don't you feel pretty? And this person's all like looking in a mirror and like, ooh. And they get kind of repetitive, but that's kind of the fun part about it. It's like, because they keep saying the same things over and over again because they kind of don't know what to do. And so there was this one, and then later on in another video, he's joined by this sidekick, which is like this old guy who's like 90 years old, who's dressed as like, I don't know if it's like a French maid and the Queen of Hearts or something. It's really just kind of bizarro.
Well, just for this disclosure, I don't cover this topic in my book.
You write about Arthur Avilés, yeah. Which is sort of tranny-ish. Tranny fabulous. You know, the thing, that's for the sequel, Too Hot for Queer Ricans.
Well, my next book is called Trans Locas y Trans Machas, Trans Puerto Rican Drag. And it's all about drag and cross-dressing and activism and performance.
Oh, wow. Fierce.
Are you going to start off with Hollywood Lawn?
Hollywood Lawn, Silvia Rivera, Mario Montes.
You got to do Warhol's. Chili Pepper here, bitch. Let me tell you, whore. I had a 5-minute conversation with her. She called me bitch and whore 40 times each.
Miss Chili Pepper, she's here Chicago, Puerto Rican drag queen. Yeah.
I was hanging out last weekend at Oprah Winfrey's house. Bitch, whore, listen to me. She is a lesbian.
Whore?
She's a lesbian. Listen.
I only know Getty from Circuito.
Circuito.
Miss Getty.
Vamos a circuito. Hay un show. My friend Martin used to always say that to me.
And last but not least, I guess Patrick Swayze's book that's, I'm not sure if it was released or re-released.
The Time of My Life, right?
The Time of My Life. So in the book, he talks about Dirty Dancing, the movie that made his career. And he said, when he was reading the script, it said, they call this Dirty Dancing. It's not dirty enough.
Oh, really? He didn't think it was dirty?
And I was like, I would love to find out what Patrick Swayze had in mind.
With Jennifer Grey.
Oh, I know. Jennifer Grey was so pretty before she got that nose job.
Well, then she had like several.
Ruined
it. Well, they fucked it up. You know, she had to have like 3 or 4 of them and stuff. So.
Is that what happened?
Yeah, that's what happened. Poor,
don't
what
get a nose job.
Poor
don't
Vita Boheme.
Who's VWM?
VWM with Patrick Swayze and Tu Wong Fu.
Oh, that's right.
But my favorite is Chichi Rodriguez, a.k.a. John Leguizamo. He's kind of Puerto Rican. You know, his grandfather was Puerto Rican.
Is he going to be in your book?
That's a good question. Sure, why not?
I'll put on a wig if I get in the book.
Nina Flowers.
Miss
Nina
Bitch,
Flowers
please.
From
Bitch,
RuPaul's Drag Race.
But the interesting thing is that Patrick Swayze and John Leguizamo did not get along with each other. And
why?
Because Patrick Swayze was trying to be a serious actor at the time. And John Leguizamo said, I was paid to play. I'm here to play and be playful. And the way I conduct myself off camera and on camera is to be fun and fun loving. And Patrick drove Patrick Swayze crazy.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Hmm.
So that's it.
Well, I want to remind the people, too, that today's show is brought to you in part by Interactive Mail. The hottest gay chat line in North America is putting their money where your mouth is in the hottest gay video contest ever. Enter the Big Gay Kiss Contest, because a kiss ain't just a kiss. It's a chance to win $10,000 and help in the fight for marriage equality. So Fausto's going to tell you how to do it.
Visit BigGayKiss.com. Upload your video or photo of you and any number of guys kissing, and you get a chance to win a video, $10,000 for the best video, and a webcam for the best picture. Again, you can go to BigGayKiss.com for additional details and to enter. And I have to say, even if you're not planning on entering, just go there, because there's some pictures and videos of some really hot guys kissing each
there
other.
There are.
Big Gay Kiss. That sounds exciting.
It's really exciting.
But the great thing about it, though, is if you send in a picture, they're going to donate money for marriage equality. So it's wonderful. And I want to remind people, too, that we're in the middle of our fundraiser. We're getting down to the wire here. We're still trying to raise money to get to $3,500 so we can get the new website up and running. Fausto, what's our grand total as of Friday?
Give me a drum roll. $2,839.
Wow.
And for every person that donates $100, mm-hmm. we're going to give them a $100 gift package from Steamworks. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, $100 worth of Steamworks merchandise.
Right.
And like lockers and like slings and all sorts of crazy
t-shirts
stuff.
And things like that.
Yeah, so you basically get like the VIP package from Steamworks. Mm-hmm. It comes with a guy.
Wow.
Naked.
Are we listening to Rufus Wainwright?
No.
No,
this
no,
is
we're not. Matt Alber.
This is Matt Alber, the song End of the World from this album Hide Nothing. He's coming to Chicago.
Yeah, he's going to perform here in the home studio and stuff like that. This is his big hit. He's super, super sexy. And there is some similarities
between him. He has a very nice voice.
Yes, he's handsome as all get out.
And he puts out. Well, unlike Rufus.
We're going to find out. No, I shouldn't say that because I'm going to scare him off.
He looks but very cute in that photo you
but
have over there.
He's performing October 2nd at the Jackhammer in the Flesh Hungry Dog Show. So that's a must. Get your tickets early because it might sell out.
And then also later on in the week, we're going to be having Gay Adegbolola performing live in the home studio, Big Ovaries Baby. Her song, mm-hmm. Unplugged, Big Ovaries Unleashed.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Larry, it's a pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you so much for having me here.
It's always a pleasure.
Thank
Bye,
you
everyone.
So much. Bye.
I've got two tickets left.